Hey, everybody, welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. Did you know that you can be a child of God and have access to God's agape love, yet not experience it because there are misconceptions in your life about how God's love operates? It's true. The Bible tells us that we can be born again and that we can have access to this amazing love, but fail to experience it. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today in our podcast. We're going to be talking about what blocks us from receiving and experiencing God's agape love, what it is, and the truth that it's really important that we experience it, because without experiencing God's agape love, you will not have what you need to give it out. Because you cannot give out what you don't have. And real love is agape love. And agape love flows out of God's agape love towards you. So today I'm going to be mainly concentrating and pulling verses from 1 John 4:7 through 20, rich passage. And we're going to be looking into this idea of agape love and what blocks us from experiencing agape love. Well, the first thing that I want you to see is that we can have access to God's agape love, but fail to experience agape love. And then if we don't experience it, then we cannot share it with others. 1 John 4:7 says this, "Let us to continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Now, in those two verses, verses 7 and 8, we see a few things. Number one is that God is love. And number two, that love comes from God. So not only is God love, but God is the source of love. Now, the word love inside of this passage means agape. And that's important because when you see that word love in the Bible, there's actually three different types of love. So there's three different Greek words for that English word love. There's eros love, which is like the love that you, the physical love, sexual love that you experience inside, sexual intimacy that you experience inside of marriage. That's not the love we're talking about here. There's phileo love, and phileo love is like an emotional love that you feel towards somebody, a strong friendship. That's phileo love. That's not the love we're talking about here. What this love is talking about in this passage is agape love. It is love that only comes from God. It is 100% unconditional. It is based off of this amazing sacrifice that God gave us through His Son. So it's purely sacrificial. It's based on choice. Agape love never involves control. God always operates out of choice. It is completely unconditional. And most importantly, you cannot earn it. It is completely given to you by grace. So that's the type of love that we're talking about. And this love only comes from God. He's the only source for it. Now, also inside of that verse, verse 7, it says that anyone who loves is, one, a child of God, but most importantly, number two, knows God. And then it says, but anyone who does not love does not know God. Now, I want us to focus on when it talks about a child of God, that means your relationship with Him, like coming into a relationship with Him. When you receive Christ as a Savior and you become born again, you become a child of God. And the moment you become a child of God, you gain access to this, the source, the only source of agape love. However, there's two things in there. It says that we are a child of God, but then we also have to know God. And then it goes on to say that those who love, and that word love there is agape love. So those who are giving agape love know God. Now that word know is really important there. It's a Greek word that is pronounced, I have to get out my paper to tell you how it's pronounced. It's G-I-N-G-K-O, ginesko. And it means a personal relationship, an intimate relationship. And so, in other words, what this is saying is that you can't just be a child of God. You have to know God. And the way that we know God is to experience Him, right? And the way to experience Him is to receive His love. In other words, in order to know God's love, you can't just study about it. You have to actually experience it. You have to experience it. Now, there's no clearer passage on this in the book of Ephesians, where Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says in 3:19, "May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand it fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." In other words, he's saying, may you know God's love, but you can't know it by intellectually studying about it. You have to experience it. You have to have that relationship with Him and to experience it, okay? You know, it's not just like you read your Bible and you know God's love. It's like you know Him. You know Him personally. But misconceptions can make us miss out on this experience. Misconceptions can make us miss out on this experience. Because when we see that word love, and when we come into a relationship with God, we also have all of our past baggage, experience about love, like how our earthly fathers treated us, our experience with love, about what love is. The world teaches us what that is. And so understanding this, that love can be unconditional, basically that you don't have to work for it, is really beyond our understanding. That's not the way the world loves us, right? And so our misconception, and really the number one misconception, is that I must earn love. Now that's true of a lot of love that people will give you, but not true of God. I mean, inside of our passage this week, we see in verse 9 that it's just purely sacrificial. That, you know, the Bible says in verse 9 in our nurse scripture, and this is 1 John 4:9, "God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. This is real love. Not that we loved, but that God loved us, that He sacrificed for us." In other words, it's completely based on the giver and not on the receiver. I did not ask God to do that for me. I certainly didn't do anything to earn that. He just gave it. And so we have these misconceptions, right? And we believe that we must earn love. And there's all these ways that we have gone about our life trying to get that real love, trying to get agape love. And we looked to people as our source. And so we do things like we'll people please, or we'll try to be perfect so that we won't experience rejection, or we'll try to have all these titles or worldly possessions so that we'll be lovely, so that people will want to be friends with us, right? And we are wearing ourselves out, and it's all in the name of trying to find real love. And because we're looking to people, and because we have this misconception, not only are we missing out because we're going to people to try to get what only God can give us, right? But we're also pulling in all those solutions, our survival mechanisms, and our misconceptions into our relationship with God. Another misconception that we have about God's agape love is that I need to be good. I need to be worthy enough. And so because of that, we fear intimacy with God because we don't understand how he operates. And so what we do is in our prayer time, we will bring God all our good works. Or if we, if we lost our temper with our kids or whatever it may be, then at the time that we need God the most, we'll pull away instead of pulling into his presence. Because we think that we need to be a certain way to come into the presence of God and to receive his love. And then the next thing is that the third block, so we've talked about the misconception of I must earn love, and then the misconception of the fear of intimacy. And then the third one is that we can hold unforgiveness towards others. Now, in this passage, it's very clear that if we are not receiving love, we're not able to give it out. And it's a vicious cycle, because when we don't extend grace towards others, Ephesians 4 is very clear. It grieves the Holy Spirit. So it prevents me from receiving from God. And it really all goes back to, even the unforgiveness, goes back to that misconception that people have what I need, that people can give me agape love, right? And so then we look to people and we're placing these unrealistic expectations on them, and that's where unforgiveness comes into play. And I'm not saying that hurts that happened to you didn't hurt, or that, you know, you should just brush them off. I'm not saying that. Forgiveness is just saying, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to release you. And when I release you, it opens my hands to receive from God. That's what forgiveness is. And so our misconceptions can make us miss out on this experience. And when we miss out on this experience of God's agape love, our souls are still looking for it. And so we will seek out people, and we might be doing all these things that look like love on the outside, but really what they are outward acts for our benefit, because we're trying to get from people what only God can give. And let me tell you, there is not a person out there that can give you that agape love that you're looking for. I don't care how awesome they are. They're people and they're imperfect. And so when we have all these misconceptions going on, the result is unhealthy friendships and unhealthy relationships, because we've got these unhealthy, this unhealthy burden that we're putting on people, or because we're trying so hard to get this love, we will get ourselves involved in unhealthy friendships. So what's the answer? The answer is in changing our perspective on the way that God loves us, because the way that we love others is a direct result of changing our perspective about the way that God loves us by seeking the truth about agape love. Now, in our Nourish scripture this week, which is 1 John 4:7-20, so you can go back and look it up, but I'm going to give you a list of what God's agape love is. And we've talked about some of this. It's true sacrifice. The motives are pure, right? It's all based on the giver, not on the receiver. It's giving not to get anything in return. Number two, it's based on grace. You cannot earn love. You cannot earn love. Number three, it's based on free will. It's based on choice. God will never make you love him back. And really, if we are making people love us or trying to do things to manipulate people to love us, and that can be people pleasing, it's not agape love. It's not, because we're trying to control people's perceptions of us. And I know, because I lived my life this way for 40 years. And it's very frustrating because it's so deceptive, because there you are doing all this good and you're worn out and weary and people are taking advantage of you, right? But agape love is different. All right, so agape love is also unconditional. And it also, though, with unconditional, it doesn't deny the truth. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love delights in the truth. And so part of God's agape love towards me is teaching me the truth, right? And part of that is that God loves me so much, he doesn't give me everything that I want. He tells me no. And when we understand that about God, then we will love other people differently. We will see that enabling others is not love. Enabling abuse is not love. The next thing is that it desires authenticity. In our nurse scripture this week, one of the most beautiful scriptures in the Bible, 1 John 4, 18. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us. That brings me to my next point. So let me go back. God desires authenticity with you. He doesn't want your good works. He wants the real you. And so you can come to him on your bad days, and you can come to him on your good days, and you can just come to him and be yourself and share about whatever is going on in your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that is vulnerability. And until we can be completely vulnerable with God, we can't be vulnerable with others. And without vulnerability, there is no intimacy. Part of receiving God's love is being vulnerable and intimate with him. So knowing the truth leads to experience. And the reason it leads to experiencing God's love is because you start to lay down those old mechanisms of pleasing others, of all these other sorts of ways that we tried to get love from other people, and you go to God. You know, and when we go to God, we will have the love that we need to give to others the way that God intended. The way that it was described to me, and if you've listened to a Treasure Ministries podcast, you've heard me talk about this before, but I go back to it all the time because it's such a great visual, and that is the watering can analogy. Now, the watering can is just a vessel. So in and of itself, it does not have the ability to nurture the flowers and to give plants what they need. The watering can has to connect to a source of water to be filled up so that it can pour out nourishment. In similar fashion, you and I are like those watering cans. We're like those vessels. And in order to fill up, to give out agape love, we have to go to the source. And the Bible says in our Nourish Scripture this week, love comes from God. So we have to receive it first in order to give it out. And part of receiving it is to love yourself the way that God loves you. Is that healthy perspective about valuing yourself or seeing yourself the way that God sees you. And that means giving yourself grace. Not feeling like at the end of the day, if you didn't complete your to-do list, that you're not a failure, right? That earning or achieving, it is being authentic and real with yourself, being kind to yourself. And from that place, you will have what you need to give to others. But if you don't do that, you'll be like a watering can coming up to a plant and saying, feed me, feed me, feed me, right? I'm thirsty. Well, the plant doesn't have, the plant is not the source of water, right? The spigot is the source of water, okay? But that's sometimes what happens. And what we, our picture of love is that soul cry within us that is looking out for agape love, and we're going to plants and we're going to trees. And, you know, in other words, we're going to people to try to get what only God can give. And when we understand that principle, we will begin to see people as, you know, that's where we need to pour out love to. And then go to God to receive this agape love to give out. You see, agape love is not something that we can manufacture. It only comes from our Maker. As we know God's love through experience. And we experience God's love when we come to Him like a little child and receive it. I love in John 4 the story of this Samaritan woman, and Jesus comes to her, and she obviously, you know, we know from the story, and if you haven't read the story, it's a good one, you can look it up. But basically, the Samaritan woman has cycled in and out of relationships. So people are her source, right, for love. She's looking for this love. And Jesus comes to her, and He's talking to her about living water. And He says to her, if you only knew who I am, right? The gift that is before you. You would ask me and I would give you living water. That's in John chapter 4. And so here's this Samaritan woman, and she's in this cycle of unhealthy relationships, and Jesus comes and interrupts her day by introducing her to the source of real love. And I hope that's what this podcast has done for you. That maybe in some way you can see inside of your life a way that you've tried to gain this real love from people. And to lay down, and it wears you out, doesn't it? The people pleasing, the performance, the perfectionism. Lay it down. And look to your Maker to receive. So that you can truly give to others the way that God intended. And you know what? This is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. I will never forget when God first started showing me about this concept. It was like I couldn't understand how, like, telling somebody no was not loving, right? And I still would feel very guilty about that. I don't feel guilty about that anymore. Because I know sometimes one of the most selfless things we can do for somebody is to tell them no, is to not enable people, right? So how does all this relate to friendship? It relates to friendship because the kind of authentic friendship that you're looking for is that agape love. The Bible says in John 15 that the world will know that we are His disciples when they see how much we are loving each other. And the love is not this plastic, you know, pretend love. It's this agape love that flows out of that deep well of the living water of God's love for you. So I want to close by just giving you three action points. Number one, go to God and experience agape love by abiding in Him and praying for you, asking Him as your heavenly Father. That's a great part. That's a great way to begin to receive His love. And when you go to God, be authentic, be real. And don't bring Him your good works, right? Don't come to Him. Just be in His presence and allow your Heavenly Father to guide you and to nurture you and to counsel you. The next thing is that start a gratitude list. Because what gratitude does is it highlights the ways that God is giving to us. Now, a lot of times God will work through people to give to us. When I walked through a really yucky season in my life, God gave me these amazing friends. And I was just in the season I was in, I had nothing to give. And they gave to me. And that was a foreign concept. I'm like, why are you giving to me? Because I can't offer you anything back. And it was a beautiful way that God was showing me and teaching me about agape love. And so I say that when I'm talking about gratitude, because as you're looking at the way that people are loving you, you know, God moves on the hearts of the people and prompts us to love others, right? And when we list our blessings, it highlights God's presence in our life and it shows us where He's giving to us so that we can give out to others. All right, so go to God and experience agape love by abiding in His presence through prayer. Number two, practice gratitude. Because gratitude highlights the ways that God is giving to you. And number three, give this agape love by looking at others through the lens of the gospel. The same lens that God looks at you. Yes, changing the way we love others is a direct result of changing our perspective about the way that God loves us. And we know this love through experience. So that is your word today. Real love flows out of God's agape love towards us. I hope you have a beautiful, awesome day. In North Carolina, we've had this crazy fall. I mean, it's been crazy hot. But yesterday, the temperature broke, the sun is out, and it's beautiful. And that is my prayer for all of you today, that you would have just this beautiful, amazing day as you begin your journey to awakening your soul to what real love is. By abiding in His presence so that you can give out agape love and live the way that God intended. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.